It's Breaking Chains with Young Adults Talk
on YAT Radio.
To the ground, like I'm posted on the line. Go hard as you can, that's the only thing that's on my mind. Hopeless, ride it like we're playing in the Rose Bowl. Cross the line, through the cut, the only thing I see is gold. When I got drafted, I was on a 23-1. Since I switched teams, well, let's say I'm probably 4-1. He took on my sin and divided it like hole in one. Never could repay him, but I'm playing like I own one. You know about the team. 1-1 to the 6, mix it with that full ride, boy, we about to throw a fit. Roll up in your city, diesel, about 126. If you know about your boy, you know there's nothing counterfeit. You know what I mean, it ain't nothing but a thing. If I never leave the bench, I still get a ring. Gotta know, trade option, and I never lose a game. Cause all we know is win, win, win.
All we know is winning, all we know is winning. 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 Cause it ain't no more losing. All we know is winning. All we know is winning. All we know is winning. All we know is all we know is winning. All we know is winning. All we know is winning. Cause it ain't no more losing.
Step up to the plate, say my grace, and then I'm out of here. Aiming for repentance like some vengeance, ain't no doubt in here. I just wanna win, it don't matter how I get it. Submission or get pinned, yeah, I'm swinging, I'm kicking. I make war, no UFC, but I bet you seeing me. Yelling my battle cry, leave it all inside the ring. Get a ring and a crown, turn no turning, girl. Fight song, play it loud. It's walk of music, banging the crowd, they going wild. As I get the feel, I feel the night is epic. I can feel the love, mess it, I know it's hard, accept it, yeah. Hey, this win, whenever we going in. At the end of the night, it don't matter where we win. Toast it on the block, worldwide, like move your pivot. Travel overseas, you still run, that's Olympic. Bring it back, no penalty, so it's first and 10. Ain't no doubt in here, all we do is win.
All we know is winning, 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 cause it ain't no more losing. All we know is winning, all we know is winning, all we know is winning, all we know is all we know is winning, all we know is winning, all we know is winning, cause it ain't no more losing.
Breaking Chains.
Breaking Chains.
Breaking Chains is a show that will break generational curses that are holding our youth in bondage. It's freedom time. Freedom time. You're now listening to Breaking Chains with your host, Nikki Williams. You're listening to Breaking Chains. Call in live during the show at 858-357-9137.
And listen live on our website at youngadultstalk.org.
Thank you.
Breaking Chains.
You're listening to Breaking Chains. Call in live during the show at 858-357-9137.
And listen live on our website at youngadultstalk.org.
Good evening and welcome to Breaking Chains. We're broadcasting live at the Wings of Life here in Mobile, Alabama. South Royal Street, downtown Mobile, with the Wings of Life. And sitting here with us right now is Pastor Chris. He's going to introduce everything to us. And tell us about the Wings of Life, sir.
Well, first of all, I want to say we're glad to have you and your program here tonight. And Wings of Life is a sin rehab, is what I call it. People struggling with alcohol and drug addiction come here. Tell them they're all SIN positive. I was telling a lady today, I said, look, you know what model we use? Because they go, what kind of model do you do? I use the Bible model. If God said that the problem's sin, then let's just go with him instead of thinking it's something else. So, yeah, we're all SIN positive, and, yeah, sometimes it manifests in alcohol and drugs, but there's all kind of other issues from pride to rebellion to unforgiveness and bitterness, stuff that has to be dealt with for people to be – to have the chains broken like y'all talk about.
Right. So tell me, how – and what is the process here?
Well, back in 1988, this ministry was mainly ministering to people on the streets and would go into Metro Jail and Strickland Youth Center only. And eventually, when we lost our lease in a little small building, we went looking for another building and saw this big building here. This is the old St. Joseph Catholic School. And they wanted $50,000 down for it. And so the founder, Reverend Phil, y'all, reached in his pocket and grabbed 50 cents. He said, it's mine. And so God provided the money, and here we are. Of course, he's in heaven now. Back in 2000, I became the director, but I came here in 98. But God sent me here supernaturally and divinely, so there was no doubt that I was supposed to be here. So anyway, I've enjoyed working with the people here. And so we let people come in for 90 days. And they come, and we have four Bible studies a day. They have to memorize 21 verses in the Bible. They have the 12-step homework to do and some other things to do. They get to go. Some of them go through counseling. And anyway, they're here to see God and to come to know God and to be born again, filled with the Spirit, and put on the armor of God and then learn how to live a whole new kingdom way of living. And that's what we push. And many of them will take hold of it and do awesome. And many have gone on to be pastors and evangelists and elders, and deacons, and just it's been an amazing thing to watch.
So Pastor Chris, tell me about this. Here's a concern that I have, and I'm going to ask a question first. How does the general public respond to you all?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, the need is so great in the community that they love the Wings of Life. Court system loves us and stuff because they don't have they're scratching their head on what to do. So people love us and they send people to us all the time.
That's great. The scripture tells us that we should take care of our brothers and sisters.
That's right.
Jesus said, the least you do unto them, you do unto me.
That's right.
So when you're out on the streets, I've been homeless before. I've been in need, and one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of people in the general public avoids us.
That's
avoid
right.
Avoid you when you're homeless, when you're out trying to get something just to eat, some water, mm-hmm. just to drink.
Right.
How do you deal with people when they come in and been in that situation where backs have been turned on them from their family, from their friends? How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, that's called rejection. You know, they got rejected. And some of their behavior, they deserve the rejection from what they did, but then some of it is not deserved. And so only God can heal the human heart and put love in your heart where you can forgive all the ones that offended you. The number one problem I see among at least backslid Christians coming into the program, because a lot of them are backslid, not all of them, mm-hmm. about half, is they have unforgiveness and bitterness. And according to Hebrews 12, you'll fail or you can, it hinders the grace of God in your life. In fact, God can't forgive you if you don't forgive. I mean, that's problem. So that's one of the first things I like to jump on. And then there's rebellion, there's unforgiveness. Then there's the some people can actually forgive other people. They can't forgive themselves.
Right.
That seems to be the hardest thing.
Right.
And then, of course, some people come in hopeless, And so they barely have just an ounce of hope, just enough to get in here. Well, faith is the evidence of things hoped for.
Amen.
And so we like to give testimonies and let them be around here and just say, well, you know what? They were worse off than me. If they can make it, maybe I can. And that's the beginnings of a turnaround.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of different things going on. I was dealing with a lady today who's 2 years old today, and she can't see her daughter, and she's depressed. You know, I mean, so people are dealing with all kinds of bridges been burned. Look back at the trail of blood that they created or the bridges that they burned. And yet, when they hang in here long enough, God tends to rebuild bridges and breaks the chain. It's just an amazing thing. Even the court system.
Yeah.
They get in the court system, is like, they're going to send me to jail for 40 years and can walk away scot-free if they'll turn their life with God. I don't know how that works, but it does. It's amazing.
But God.
But God, that's right.
So, I appreciate you sitting down and having this discussion with me. As how long have you been the pastor here?
I've been here since 1998. So that's like 20 years.
20 years. Okay. So you've seen a lot of turnaround here. When they leave, do a lot of them come back?
Yeah, there'll be part of recovery is people going out and failing and coming back again. Not everybody has to do it. Nationwide average person will go to 8.3 rehabs before they finally give it up. Now, our program is non-smoking, so you'll have better success rate in a non-smoking program.
Right.
They did a study of 10,000 addicts nationwide about 15 years ago and saw that those that made quitting smoking part of their recovery had 5 to 8 times greater success rate. So we do have a better success rate, but people still, for various reasons, backslide. The number one reason where they think they're the exception to the rule. And until they get all of that out of their system, realize I got to give up my old friends. I can't, you know, the people, places, and things problem. And that'll eliminate a lot of it. And then, you know, things happen. People die. Relationships go bad. And people tend to want to go back. But I've seen a lot of people one time, that was it. Never go back.
Never go back.
No.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing. So what's the next step here? What is the ultimate goal of the Wings?
Well, once they get out of the 90-day program, we have a 1-year Bible school. And so that's really what I'm more interested in, because that's where you're really becoming a disciple. And then they're going to learn how to evangelize and give you testimony, go out and do things from face painting to just doing something and then learning the word. And then from there, they can get into MIT school, which is ministry and training. And then they can become a minister. And so some of them wind up staying here to help us do what we do. But I like to see them, because Jesus didn't say go into all the world to make them converts.
That's right.
He said go into all the world make disciples. And so this is a genuine discipleship program. This is not really a rehab. This is a discipleship program. That's his method. I can't do it any other way. If I do it another way, it won't work.
Absolutely. So I guess, and you explained something just then that fits perfectly, because most people think that it is that type of center, and it's not a ministry. It's not to put people in ministry. It's like a recovery center to bring people off the streets to get them better. And I'm just speaking from the outside, looking in.
Right.
So I'm glad that we have this night, because you are giving more insight of what the Wings is all about. So to me personally, I think that should be something that all churches should kind of get involved and help you with that, because
that's right.
You're making disciples, you're making evangelists, missionaries, pastors, teachers, which is needed out there, part of the fivefold ministry. And if I had to sit here today and talk about that, you know, some people probably get mad, because the church is not doing what it's supposed to do.
Right.
What Jesus left us here to do.
Right.
He told the disciples, when I leave here, you'll be able to do greater works than I. I when I preach at the church, I get excited just to hear that scripture, because that's Jesus telling me that I'll be able to do greater works than he. That's powerful to me. I think that is the ultimate power ever, because Jesus leaves you with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And you'll be able to go out and do things that Jesus said that he did, but greater things than he.
That's right.
That's Jesus talking to us. So what do you think keeps us from doing that?
Well, you know, we have an American culture. We have a culture of abundance. I listen to some preachers from India and stuff, and they preach totally different sermons. And I hear they'll preach about how to be persecuted and be persecuted and take it humbly, and you know how to not curse people back when they curse you. And it just I'm going, you know what? I think God loves His church, and some things are going to happen in our country because there's a lot of people in churches. They have a good heart. They don't know what to do. It's a little bit dysfunctional, but people are coming out and they go, you know, I want to do something, and they tend to join churches doing something. And so I just really believe that God is coming to our American church to kind of open our eyes to how to love people more and how to take care of things. I see the beginnings of that happening in our country.
Right.
And maybe some problems will come along the way where we'll rise up, because when that storm hit Houston, Hurricane Harvey,
mm-hmm.
the churches rose up there and did a wonderful job. We have a church that we work with called Powerhouse Church in Katy, Texas, which is right there in Houston.
Right.
And, man, they rescued over 1,000 people.
Wow.
So I see the church shine when we need to shine.
Right.
And so I think the greatness is in us to do it. It's just going to take a little oomph to get us moving. And I think that time is real soon, to be honest with you.
I do believe that, because you can actually feel it in the atmosphere.
That's right.
You can feel it taking place. Jesus said that he came to serve.
That's right.
To be served.
That's right.
If our God of all creation can come to this earth to serve and not to be served, we need to learn how to serve.
Amen.
And to take care of our people, brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
Because we all his children. He says the sun shines on the just and the unjust. And he's no respecter of persons. So we have to make sure that we are not just preaching the word, we have to teach the word. Because it's easy for me to stand here and preach, but are you understanding what I'm preaching? So I have to break it down to teach you what it is that I'm preaching to you, and which is God's word. So, Pastor Chris, I thank you for taking the time.
Well,
come and sit
we
down.
We appreciate you being here tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Give the Lord a hand.
Amen. Hey, we're live at the Wings of Life here in Mobile, South Royal Street, downtown. Stop in some days and lend a helping hand to these brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a brother coming up to give a testimony this evening. What is your name, brother? State your name to the people.
My name's David Melendez.
All right. How you doing, sir?
Fantastic.
Amen. Tell everybody how good God's been to you.
Well, I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida, and it's basically my first time out of home, away from home, and first time here in Mobile. I love it here, and I'm just so thankful for the Wings of Life, and I'm thankful for Pastor Chris. And it's just great to be under, you know, working or just serving under leadership like Pastor Chris. I could just hear the, you know, and I'm here to experience, you know, the love that they poured out. And, man, it's just amazing. It's beyond anything that I've been through pretty much. And I've been through a lot. I've been to prison 3 times. I've been to multiple county jails in Tampa, Florida, and St. Petersburg. Well, Clearwater, Florida, that's where you go from St. Pete. And, you know, I basically just had a sin problem. See, I thought it was alcoholism. I thought it was alcoholism, and I thought it was, you know, a drug addict and throwing labels on it. You know, and I've took place in certain, you know, groups that teach that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now I really, you know, I really, they also teach that I've lost the power of choice and drink. So what I'm doing is I'm doing out of pure compulsion, you know. So I kind of use that as an excuse to just, all right, well, I'm already, you know, using. So I might as well just keep on going and using and this and that. And, you know, I was addicted to pornography and all types of crazy sexual immorality. And, man, you know, I just hated myself. I really hated myself. I didn't know who I was. I'm Puerto Rican and Italian, you know. So I got a Puerto Rican side of my family, you know, and then it's me and my you know, it was 6 of us. I lost my brother last year to brain cancer. And, you know, so I just never really had an identity, you know. And so, you know, I mean, I started selling drugs at an early age, like 16. You know, I was selling drugs and stuff like that, running in motels, and you know, I ended up just going downward spiraling into you know, just all different types of sexual immorality, different drugs. It just got worse and worse and worse. And you know, after going to prison, after my third time in prison, my third time in prison. When I got out, I got a relationship with God while I was in there, but I was backsliding. I ended up backsliding, and, man, I mean, I was hungry for God this time. And this time I was facing, you know, some years in prison, and, you know, I started getting into the radio, and I was just writing stuff down, you know, like just writing the word down and what these, like, I was listening to David Jeremiah and, like, Charles Stanley and... And then I was listening to The River, the church in Tampa called The River with Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. And, you know, so I ended up getting out of jail. Or I went to prison, but I got a little bit of time. God was with me. He delivered me out of that mess. And I only did like 15 months, but I did most of my time in the county jail. And when I got out, you know, I was real good with Pastor Dave. I was under Pastor David DePietro at this church called Faith Assembly in St. Petersburg. And, you know, we were going around. And what happened was I stopped praying and I stopped reading the Word of God. And what happened was I was feeding my flesh, so my flesh took over. You know, I wasn't in the Spirit no more, you know, and the one you feed the most, I've been learning that a lot here as well. The one you feed the most is going to take over. So that flesh, damn, slapped me one day. And I remember grabbing a beer. I went to the store and I was like, man, I don't want to do this. So I grabbed a beer and then I was like, you know, I didn't want to do it. And then I was like, I'll be okay. Popped it open and drank and I was off to the races, you know. And, you know, I ended up getting sober again a little bit. I just got deep. There's just been so many times that I've gotten sober and drunk and, or, you know, and getting high and stuff. And, but I got sober and I was a member of, these 12 step groups and I did pretty good for a while, you know, about 3 years. And I ended up getting into a relationship and, man, it was kind of, I just really didn't like the relationship. We wasn't married. We were living together, you know, and I found out now, you know, God, I just wasn't living in God's will. You know, I had no knowledge of God and the word says, you know, my people die for and not perish for a lack of knowledge. And that I experienced that, you know, it was just pure insanity. I'm living with this lady and we don't like each other pretty much. And we're just staying with each other and bearing one another. And, the day before Memorial Day, I ended up going out. I got, you know, I was watching Drugs, this show, and, I ended up going out and while I was out, well, I remember when I was like, I made that decision, I'm going to go use, and I ended up, the tire got flat, you know, in my car. I was doing good. I was a marketing manager at this company called Reese Builder. I had awesome, excellent credit and everything, and once I got back into drugs, I just downslid. I mean, I just blew everything, spent all my money, and now I'm back living with mom at my mom's house, and, you know, and it was just crazy. I'm running around the streets and, you know, I'm going to get to what happened with, one day I just call up my sister cause I'm tired. Cause I started using some other substance and I called up my sister one night. I text her and she answered, she called back, but I was too embarrassed to answer the phone and talk to her. So, I finally I called her back and she was like, hey Dave, my pastor prophesied over me. And he said that somebody, and he prophesied over the whole group. And he said, somebody out of this group is going to, somebody out of, you know, his flock is going to call or text either tonight or this. I'm just telling you from what my sister told me. And they've been way away from the Lord. They've been backslidden. They're going to be back. And so I ended up coming back, or I called back, and she was like, "Hey, David, wait, this is an answer to prayer. I'm going to try and make a way for you to come. You know, I'm going to call up my pastor and see what, you know, and try and make a way for you to come here to Mobile or something, or see what we're going to do." And so she was like, "Go to detox." So I went to detox, and then 5 days later, I got kicked out of detox Super Bowl Sunday on the during the halftime show. And, you know, when I got kicked out of the detox, and my mom picked me up, and then my sister came and got me like the next day. And, you know, I ended up coming over here. So, you know, I've been here for like 3 months. I finished a 90-day program just recently. And, man, it's just been awesome since I got here. I mean, I had problems with forgiving myself, and I was just like, man, there's something I got to do. There's no way that God can forgive me, you know. And then they would say, you know, like, well, you know, we're co-heirs of Jesus Christ, and you know, and we're seated in heavenly places with Him, and that means when He told Jesus, you know, my beloved, when he was baptized by John, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And when he came up, our Father said in heaven, you know, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You know, and I can claim that today. You know, and I can walk in victory, and I don't have to. And also choose joy and life, and just also be a blessing. And man, it's just awesome to walk in faith today, and also to be able to speak, you know, because I can activate my faith by speaking, you know, because the Holy Spirit's around just waiting for me to just use some word. You know, God's waiting for us to step up. He's waiting for a church to go out there. And I mean, man, just with the other church he was talking about going out, you know, saving 1,000 people. I mean, I went out. We went door to door in a neighborhood, and we were, it was by this RV Taylor Center or something with my sister, and we're leading people to Christ, you know. Over 4 months ago, I was just shooting needles up in my arm and, you know, on drugs. I don't mean to be so vulgar about it, okay, saying, you know, getting too much into that. But
no restrictions.
Okay, great. All right. And, okay. Well, anyways, we were going around winning people to Christ, man, and that's just where God can, you know, 4 months ago using drugs, not knowing that God can forgive me, thinking that it's something that I have to do, when all I got to do is just believe in what the Word of God says and obey what He's telling me to do, man. It's just that simple. So, all right, thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
We're live at the Wings of Life in Mobile, Alabama. This is Breaking Chains. I'm Reverend Rod. Just having a testimonial time right now here at the Wings. And just always remember, God is always waiting on you. He's standing by. He's saying, never leave nor forsake us. All we have to do is call on His name, and He will be there. He will appear. And we got to keep that in mind. God bless you. Tell everyone your name.
Hi, my name is Rachel Gormandy.
Okay.
I'm 41 years old. I'm a mother of 4 kids. My entire life, I've been in, like, back-to-back toxic relationships. I've had a toxic relationship with my father, which pretty much led to me going down a, you know, just like I said, back-to-back toxic relationships. And with every failed relationship, I'd fall into a substance. I dabbled in substances on and off, you know, for 20 years, but I was able to maintain it. I'd do it a little bit, but then I wouldn't. I was a PTA mom. I coached Little League Baseball, you know, and then 3 years ago, I experienced just something life didn't prepare me for, and I couldn't handle it. You know, a hurt that was so deep that I couldn't handle, and I You know, I went from PTA mom to a full-blown drug addict. Let's see, 6 months ago, I walked into Wings of Life with active hepatitis B, with an active infection, and liver failure and kidney failure. Yeah, I was so sick. I tried to go to two secular rehabs before coming here, and, of course, those doors kept getting shut. So, you know, it was meant for me to be at Wings of Life at that moment. It took, you know, God sitting me down because I really didn't have a relationship with him before coming here. And right after I got here, someone told me that God could heal me, asked me if I believed it, and I said, sure. You know, because I hoped that I could be okay. I really didn't have a whole lot of faith, but I had enough hope, I guess, to boost that faith up. And when they laid hands on me, 3 weeks later, I had a HEP panel and my liver enzymes, and my liver enzymes were normal. Mm. My HEP panel was negative of wow. everything. You know, God healed me.
Wow.
He healed me completely. So like I said, 6 months ago, I walked in here, an IV drug user, back-to-back, a toxic, abusive relationship, a non-existent relationship with my children and my family. My family's been restored to me. My health has been restored to me. I've been delivered from the bondages of addiction, and all the glory is to God, because without him, I couldn't have done any of it. I'm now, I graduated in February from the 90-day program. I now serve the 90-day residents as a Dove Foundation member, and I'm just looking forward to see what God has next for me.
Wow, that's good. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
We're having a great time tonight at the Wings of Life. It's Reverend Rod broadcasting live. You know, just if you still know someone that's having some issues going through things, as all of us are, let's start helping each other out. Because one thing about it is once we start sharing our testimonies, we don't know who we're helping out. We don't know what life that is being changed and saved by the words that come out of our mouth. Because we can either speak life or death out of this same mouth, with the same tongue, which is the most dangerous part of our bodies. So we have to learn to do better in what we're saying and conducting, because whatever's in a man's heart, so he speaketh. So if you got hate in your heart, darkness in your heart, that's what's going to come out, and that's what you're going to put on other people. And God is going to have to come and talk to you about that. And we don't want God coming to talk to us about certain things. You know, one thing about it on Judgment Day, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because when God got to stop me to ask me some questions of why I didn't do something, I think that I look at that as a problem. I look at that as a problem. So we have to do better. We have another young lady here to give a testimony. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Holly Campbell. I'm 32 years old. I came in here completely broken, lost. I felt hopeless. I started using drugs whenever my brother died back in 2007. I felt my world crashing in on me because he was my best friend. I knew if I didn't have anybody in this world, I had my brother. And I blamed God for a lot of that for a long time. And when I came here to the Wings of Life, I felt like, you know, scared whenever I got here. I was scared to death to come here. I've never been in a rehab. But when I walked in the Wings of Life, I felt the presence of the Lord when I walked in these doors. All my fright went away. I came in here just not knowing who I was. I was in a deep, dark hole using, I was an IV drug user. And God has delivered me from all of that. And without God's grace, I couldn't have done any of it. I came in here signing divorce papers. Wings of Life takes in married couples. And now my marriage is restored. Me and my husband, we pray together, and prayer is a big thing.
Yes,
you know, it's the most intimate thing you can do with your husband or wife. And I give, you know, God all the glory, and I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ every day of my life.
God bless you.
This is a powerful night, and I tell you, a lot of lives will be changed all over this world tonight, and because it takes courage to come up and give a testimony of where you've been in your life. And one thing about it is that
We all have been down that road in some part of our lives where we don't want nobody to know about it. We want to keep it hidden and dark. But one thing you got to always remember, ain't nothing hidden from God. He got all eyes all over this world, all over this earth, and he sees all at the same time. He knows all. So we have to make sure that if nobody else we're going to be honest with, we're going to be honest with God. Good evening and welcome, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. Tell us your name and talk to us.
My name's John Polio, 32 years old. Basically, my testimony, you know, I came up in church Wednesday, Sundays. If I didn't go to church, I'd get grounded, you know. So I knew the ropes young and everything. Grew up with a single mother. I lost her a week after my 16th birthday. So I kind of had a grudge with God at that time. Yeah. Kind of, you know, I guess you could say I was well-liked in school. So I kind of used that to my advantage. Started right before my mom died selling her pills. You know, I kind of came up and got addicted to the finer things in life, living wrong, burning bridges, and just being all about myself. Which entail Mobile, but went on a several year long run across the country, putting mail together with weed, basically through Colorado back to South Florida, just really doing whatever I thought I could do to benefit myself. I guess I didn't really come to find my faith again until I guess I came to the Wings of Life. You know, I'm still working on that daily. I'm not gonna claim to be something that I'm not.
Right.
I just try and keep it real with myself and until God will follow. But I overdosed at 18. I was partying with a bunch of friends and woke up a month later in the hospital. A couple of friends threw something in my drink and, you know what I mean, woke up a month later to the harsh reality that the people that you think are your boys, that you think you're good with, really just want a piece of mind, really want the position, really just want to come up. You know what I'm saying? They envy you. They're jealous. They want to be in the position that you're in, and they're jealous because they can't, so they want to hate and throw shade, you know. That's something I'm still dealing with here. You know, it's a great place and everything, but we go through it here. You wouldn't think so, but you know what I mean? You just got to work on yourself, be yourself daily, and like you said, God's going to pull you through it, but at the end of the day, if you, I feel like, reach in the right direction, which is God, you know what I'm saying? This is a great program to work on that walk. You know, you get to see people who are less fortunate than you, where you're just one bad decision away from what they're going through, you know what I'm saying? So it humbles you, you know, being able to be, they call them homeless, but the guests that come in Saturday, you know, work with people who are just, you know, in a worse off position that we once were. And I don't take that lightly or take it for granted. I feel like I'm blessed to be in Mobile. Do I like it? I guess it's okay. I've come to know some people here that are actually really good, you know, probably the best people that have intentions of actually that are true. You know, there's no ill-gotten gain. You know, they don't got nothing to gain off your friendship. So yeah, it's hard at times, but which is day by day, I guess that's how I can say my testimony. God is changing me because I'm starting to give people a chance without pushing them away before they get too close. I'm so used to burning bridges, but that's basically all I got for you, man.
Amen. God bless you, bro. Thanks a lot. We're broadcasting live at the Wings of Life, Mobile, Alabama, South Royal Street. Drop in and tell them hi sometimes. They always got the doors open. Need a place to come in and get your life right? This is the place to be. Good evening, ma'am. How are you? Good. Tell everyone your name.
My name is Lori Flynn. I'm 51 years old, and I'm not going to really go into the drug thing. Let's just say I was in a deep, dark pit of, you know.
Yeah.
When I came in, well, actually, I'd cried out. I said, God, please just take me. I'd attempted suicide 7 times and was successful 4 times, but they brought me back. So I figured there's got to be something. I said, Lord, if there's something, you need to do something now or take me, because I can't do it anymore. I was living under a tree, literally. I'd been homeless for quite a while. And so my phone had been broken. My phone came back on. And my sister texted me, and she said, where are you? What's going on? I had a broke nose, 2 black eyes, been robbed, raped, and just, it was, you know, it's okay. And so she came and got me in, and I was talking to her, and I said, and I don't even know where the words came from. I said, I need help. And she brought me here that Thursday, and I came in, and I knew nothing about God. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, none of that. And when I got here, I was like, oh, what is going on here? But then I saw Minister Kevin preach Monday, and I said, that's what I want. And I want that, and I'm just diligent seeking God, and it's just amazing. I had hepatitis C. I'd been diagnosed 7 years ago. I have been healed from that without ever taking medication for through the power of prayer. I've had chronic back issues. I'm healed of that. ACL injury gone. And it's all God. And I am, there's just no way I'm letting go. I thank Pastor Chris for having the vision. And I thank God for giving him the vision to do this. And we do have to love. It does say love your brother as yourself. And I didn't love myself, but I do now. I've been delivered from a lot of things, and God is just incredible. And my family sees, and they're like, wow. And my daughters, you know, I've been estranged from them for 4 years, and I'm going to be a grandmother in about a week, first time ever.
All right.
And I speak to my daughter every day. My life has done a 180, and I'm just so blessed, and it's all God.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, sir.
I tell you, there's nothing like giving a testimony, because God is going to be with you. Scripture does tell us, greater is he that is in me than he that is out of that world thing. We all done dipped and dabbed in something that ain't of God. Let me ask you a question. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, do you think you'd be here today?
No.
Wouldn't be no us. We'd be gone. We probably wouldn't even came into existence. Because Jesus had to come here in order for the next generation to come too.
That's right.
Because it all would have stopped. God was ready to end all of it again. So here we are at a point in our lives when everybody say we at the end of times. Nobody knows but God. Scripture says Jesus don't even know when he's coming back. Only God knows. We haven't even reached perilous times, brothers and sisters. We don't know what perilous times are all about. But one day they will come. So I hope and pray that we all can get our lives right with Christ so that we won't have to endure those perilous times. We're sitting here with Pastor Ben. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good, sir. How you doing?
Thank you for having us here tonight. Tell us about your role here, Pastor Ben.
Well, my role here is to help Pastor Chris in whatever capacity. Started out in the kitchen, working in the kitchen, washing dishes. And I said, Lord, I thank you that I don't work in that thrift store. It's too hot out there. And 2 weeks after I graduated the program, I went to work in the thrift store. So I've... You know, when you tell God you don't want to do something,
you end up doing it anyway. That's right.
So I've been worked in the thrift store, worked in the kitchen, kind of work everywhere. Put on a lot of hats and can do anything. And I thank God for the ability to, because you kind of get bored doing the same thing over and over. So I have a variety of different things that I do. And I came actually to the Wings of Life to get off of drugs and alcohol and just start something new. I knew Jesus, but I didn't know him in my heart. So I came to the Wings. I was going to do a 90-day program and go back home. Well, here it is 12 years later. I'm still here.
Wow.
Yeah. I thank God that my dad said that I'm the only person he knows that has made a 90-day program in the 12 years.
Wow.
I said, well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But I came here angry, upset, hurt, bitter, mad at God, mad at myself. And I came in here and had my hands crossed. Called my parents saying these people are crazy. I need to go home. They don't know nothing about drugs. And anyways, somebody came in the program about 2 weeks after I got here, and he said, why don't you listen to what they're saying?
Mm.
And so I started listening in Bible study and hearing the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, something changes on the inside.
That's right.
And I started getting hungry for the things of God, and I started wanting it. And so here I am 12 years later helping serve in the ministry.
Wow.
And just giving back, because God's been so good to me. I want to be able to give back to others and let them know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Right.
I was bound in religion when I came. I grew up in the church, but I knew what to say, how to say it,
right.
And play the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Play the role.
Yeah.
And so I've been introduced to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's been good. Life's been good.
Amen.
It hasn't always been easy, but it's been good, and it's been worth it.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Well, I tell you, Pastor Ben, that's an awesome testimony in itself. So what is your next step here, you know, as far as you are concerned here, being here 12 years?
Yes, sir.
You're a pastor now. So what's next for you?
Well, I told Pastor Chris not long ago, I said, I think I'm going to be here for the long haul.
There we go.
I don't see me going anywhere. I don't see me going. I mean, I could go out and get a 9-to-5 job, but I wouldn't be fulfilled on the inside. I believe that my call is here at the Wings of Lions. So here I am, Lord. Use me.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
Pastor Chris, you got some long-time help.
Thank you, Pastor Ben.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for everything. I tell you, as I sit here and I listen to these testimonies and I listen to what is going on, let me say this. My life has not always been this. I wasn't always a pastor, like every pastor. I've been in radio and music all my life, born in it. Grew up in the church. Raised in the church, actually was grew up with Amy here and my dear friend Deacon Brown there. We grew up together in the same church since we were, wow, short as a duck. So here we are today, grown men and women, but have grown in Christ. This gentleman right here, he and I used to go to work together, get off work and go do drugs, hang out, drinking, partying, doing all kind of devilish things, knowing who God was. I think what happened is that one night I was sitting in the club here in Mobile. I came home for Christmas and was sitting in the club one night and start crying in the middle of the club. My sister was with me and she came over to me and you know how people try to hide you so nobody can see you? She hit me and was like, "What is wrong with you?" And I was like, "I'm hearing this voice in my head, and it's driving me crazy." And she was like, "What voice are you hearing?" And it was, I told her, all I kept hearing was like, "You need to get out of here. This is not where I want you." And I didn't know who was telling me to get out because nobody was telling me that. But all I can say is that is the night that God really just touched my life. And I had to get my life right. I think what happens is that we look at ourselves and we forget where we come from. We forget where God has brought us from.
Amen.
And we choose to live a certain way that is not godly at all. When we say that we are Christ-like, we tend to forget what Christ-like really means. We don't really understand what it really means. That's why the scripture tells us to lean not to our own understanding, because we'll never be able to figure it out. If we all had to sit here tonight and try to figure out why are we here, we won't get that answer. But if we ask God, why are we here, we'll get that answer.
That's right.
Because God will tell us why we are here. God will tell us that he had to bring us out of some miry clay and we had to go through some dog paths. But the scripture also says in the 23rd Psalms, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me." Did we always know that the Lord was with us? No, we didn't. Even when we were still in our sin, Christ still died for us. Still died. Hung on that cross for us. Got off that cross. The men on the side of him, one of them said what? "You being who you are," I'm paraphrasing, "you being who you are, get off this cross and get us off too." If he would have got off that cross, we wouldn't be here today.
That's right.
There would be no grace and mercy for us today. Thank God that he got off that cross by being dead first and had to be laid in the tomb. But he got up, right? He got up. When you go to hell, everybody don't come out of hell when they go to hell, do they? Jesus came up out of hell for you and me. He died for you and me. So there's no reason for us to feel down and out, feel like we ain't worth nothing because we worth everything. Because that was a price paid for our life. That was a man that gave his life for you, and he didn't. You didn't even know who he was. We didn't even know who he was. We didn't serve him. We didn't think none of. We actually put him on that cross. We killed him. And to this day, we still persecuting him all over again. By the way we live, by the way we think, by the things we do to each other, we treat each other like we not nothing. We got racism in the world today. We got poverty in the world today. We have homelessness in the world today. We got hunger in the world today, and we live in the richest country in the world. I don't understand it. That's why I have to give it to God, because if I left it in my own hands, there's some people right here today sitting right here that would tell you I was an evil, attitude, quick-tempered person. And to this day, I still got attitude, but my attitude is different now. I got an attitude with the devil. I'm angry with the devil. I get hot with him because, see, we still go through it. We are Christians, but we still go through it. How many of us have bad thoughts during the daytime? How many of us have said bad things out of this mouth right here? Even yet, while we still sitting here. We still sitting here. You live in here. You sit in here, and you're not going to tell me that you don't have bad thoughts and say bad things. Because if you say that, you are lying. I'm going to move away from it. So let me tell you something. The truth makes us free, right? It sets you free, right? But let me tell you something. At the name of Jesus, what has to happen? First thing happens is it says the devil has to flee. It's not that he's going to flee. He's thinking about fleeing. He got to go. So when you know that if you can say the name of Jesus, all kinds of things can happen. Why do we say other words then when we're in bad situations? Why can't we call on the name of Jesus when we're in bad situations? Why not? It said the devil has to flee, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And you know, at the power of the name of Jesus, all kinds of things happen. Brother sat here and say, when I'm studying the word and I'm listening to the word and I'm studying, things happen on the inside of you. See, this is flesh right here. This is going to go away. But your soul going to live either eternal life or an eternal hell. That's your choice. That's your choice. The God we serve is a gentleman. He gives you the opportunity to make choices. We made the choices to be on drugs. We made the choice to be on alcohol. We made the choice to be into all the negative things in life. Now we have an opportunity to make a choice to get it right.
Yes.
Because every morning Jesus wakes us up, there's another opportunity. Some people didn't wake up this morning. We may not know them, but somebody left here today. Somebody's going to leave here every day. Just hope when they leave here, they got their life right and in order with Christ. That's the most important thing in life, y'all. Because let me tell you something. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but God does. He does. He knows how long you're going to be on this earth. We don't. He said he has a great expected end for all of us. Most importantly, God said he don't want to see anyone perish and go to hell. Isn't that amazing? We serve a God that don't even want us to go to hell, and we do hellish things. We do things that we know that should put us in hell. Right now, there was a television show, and the man went around asking everybody, how many of y'all in here broke the Ten Commandments? Anybody in here broke the Ten Commandments? So you automatically know you automatically supposed to be in hell. You're supposed to go straight to hell. Because God said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We don't keep his commandments. All the pastors in the world are not sinless. There's only one sinless man. And he died for us because we were sinners. Why did God turn his back on Jesus? Why did Jesus have to say, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God could not look at sin. Because Jesus had all of our sin on his back. So why do we continue to do that? So brothers and sisters, as we end this podcast tonight, did say, all right, okay. As we get ready to end this podcast, I just want you to just know one thing, that God loves you. He will never leave nor forsake you. He will always be there. Always. The scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That means that we should always be in prayer about every situation. You know what we do? We think about everything, but we pray about nothing. If we start praying about everything, we ain't got to think about it because God don't fix it. God don't fix it if we allow him to. We too busy putting our hands on it. We mess up everything. We mess up everything. Everything. It is not an easy task to serve God. There's no way in the scriptures where Jesus told us it would be easy. We expect it to be easy because we say we're Christians. It's going to be worse for you. Jesus told us that. He said the world hated me before it hated you. The world hates us because of who we follow. We follow Christ. We live Christ's life. We start to look like Christ because the image and the power and the glory of God ascends on us. It ascended on Jesus when he came up out of the water. You don't think it'll ascend on you? It's on you too. So let it be seen. Don't be ashamed of yourself anymore. Don't be mad at yourself anymore. God forgive you. Forgive yourself. All you got to do is just, you say, Jesus says, we have not. Why? Because we ask not. Knock and the door will be open. It's just that simple. Matter of fact, Jesus is standing at the door. Look at that door. There's only a doorknob on one side. And that's your side. You got to be the one to open up and let him in. He ain't going to come in unless you open up and let him in. He has never forced himself on anybody. But he has changed many lives. You can change many lives too. You can change many lives too. We all can change lives. And it ain't in these four walls. The problem is on the other side. See, we sitting up in here protected, covered. God is in here hovering because two or more gather in his name. So he in here hovering right now. What's going on out there? We got to get out there too. That's what you do. That's what you do. Continue to do it. And be proud about what you're doing. You serving the Lord. You making disciples. He told us to go out and make disciples of all nations, all people. And he said that Jesus can't come until the gospel is preached to the four corners of the earth. The four corners of the earth, actually, I'm going to get into some history stuff real quick. The four corners of the earth lets me know that the earth ain't round. See, I said something that went over your head for a minute, but you think about that later. The scriptures are right. History books are wrong. Because if there are four corners of the earth, where are the four corners of a round circle? If it's round, where are the corners? Have you ever thought about that? You've heard that the earth is round. You've heard that. But God says that the four corners of the earth actually sounds like the earth is flat. But we won't dispute that tonight. I just want you to continue doing what you're doing. You had powerful testimonies tonight. My audience heard you all over this world. There are 71,000 people that tune into this all over this world. I can show you numbers on this internet right here, from Ghana to Africa, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan. They listen in because we don't hold back the truth. We speak the truth. We're to break chains. In order to break chains, you got to speak. You have to speak it into existence.
That's right.
You have to speak that thing. See, our slogan is we leave a mark that can't be erased. By breaking the chains of silence.
Amen.
See, if we can get people to start talking and speaking and telling their testimony, you'd be surprised how many lives you change. How many lives you could save. You can do that. We can all do that. And see, this right here was a blessing for me. Just me. You know, to come out and hear this and to know that I've been in your shoes.
I've been in a place like this before. It wasn't like this. We didn't talk about God. We could smoke. We could sneak off if we wanted to. I'm just being honest. And they wouldn't care. So a lot of men and women didn't get saved there. So I thank God for this opportunity that you have to come in and get real help. Real help. Pastor Chris and Pastor Ben. You know, I thank God for them because they are helping to save lives. They are doing the work that God left them to do. Jesus is not here no more. It's on us to do it. It's on us. You the church. It's not the building. It's not the building. He told, listen, he told Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Right? He wasn't talking about a building. He was talking about Peter. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. We the church. Your pulpit is this whole earth. Get in your pulpit. Get in your place. Do the work of the Lord that's in you. I would tell everybody, and I'm going to ask you to do it too. I want everybody to close your eyes. Everybody close their eyes. Now I want you to think about something that you would love to be doing in your life right now that you get excited about. And matter of fact, it puts a smile on your face just thinking about it. I want you to think about what that is. Say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do that I'm excited to do, that I am just anxious to do, and I want to do? Everybody open your eyes. I'm not going to ask you what that was. That's between you and God. But whatever God just put in your heart, that's the path you need to be following. Because when I did that for the first time, this is what I wanted to do. Ministry. I avoided ministry for so long. I ran from God. I ain't doing that. I couldn't imagine being a pastor, a preacher, teaching folks about the word. I couldn't imagine that. I thought I was the biggest sinner out there. Paul said, hey, well, I am the chief sinner. That's what Paul called himself, one of the greatest apostles ever lived. So let us all get into our proper places. It's not in the bottom of a bottle. It's not on the drugs. It's not in the streets. It's resonating in the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all else will be added. It'll all be added to you. So all these other material things that people are seeking today, seek God first, and he'll bring all that to you. You ain't going to have to do nothing for it. Because one thing about it is, he knows your needs before you ask. He knows where you need to be before you go there. He knows. He told Abram before he became Abraham, pack up your bags and leave. Go. He ain't know where to go. But he kept the faith. Because of Abraham, the father of faith, we are where we are today too. A lot of people died for us, y'all. A lot of people were murdered in that Bible for us to be where we are today. Don't take advantage of that. Take it seriously. Because Christ will return one day soon. Say the dead will rise first, and the rest of us are going to join them. Because some of us are going to probably still be living. I don't know who it's going to be, but some of us are going to physically see that day. I actually look forward to it, whether I'm dead or not. I'm looking forward. I'm just going to be resting, waiting on him. So I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to the day of joining him.
Yes.
You know, brother say he tried to commit suicide. Lady say she tried to commit suicide several times. Several times. My family don't even know that. I tried to drive off a bridge. Driving, let the seat back while I was driving down the highway in New Orleans. The high rise in New Orleans, everybody know about the high rise. Put my car on cruise, locked it in on 90, laid my seat all the way back, and just was done. I'm still here. I lifted up, my seat was like,
I done come up the bridge, went down the bridge, you know, when the curve going in the east, car was going in the curve, just driving. I was like, nah, I ain't trying this no more because the Lord was driving that car. I'm telling you facts right now. Facts. If the Lord wasn't driving, I don't know who was. I put a 9mm to my head and pulled the trigger, click two times. I put it down. I ain't trying no more. God want me for something, so I'm through trying. We get that way, y'all. Drugs to do that. Drugs to do that. It did it to me. I was too ashamed. So as we wrap up, I just wanted to share that with you because you need to know that there are people out here that have been in your shoes, that have been in the place where you are, and God then brought them out, just like he's bringing you out. So you can look around the room when you're anointed of God and know who's serious about what they're doing. God allows you to see it. It's called the gifts of the Spirit. See, a lot of people don't teach that around here in Mobile. I know that for a fact. They don't want to teach the gifts of the Spirit because they think it's part of certain denominations. The gifts of the Spirit is of God, not a denomination. God said, use your gifts. If some of you in here got those gifts, use them. Your brothers and sisters need you. They need you. God needs you to do that work. And the opportunity is present in this time, 2018. It's getting worse, brothers and sisters. Our children are dying every day, not caring about nothing. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. We got a lot of work to do. So concentrate on your work in here so you can take your work out there. Pastor Chris, if you can tell me prayers out, please. The way I would like to do this, brothers and sisters, if you don't mind, if we can all stand and join hands together.
Well, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives. We also want to pray for those that are listening, Lord God, that if there's anyone there that don't know your Spirit and truth, that you would draw them in by the power of your Spirit that they might be saved, that you would send angels their way to see this come about, that you would send gospel workers across your path, and that Satan, the little G-God of this world that blinds the minds of the unbelieving, that they see the light of the glorious gospel are saved, would be bound away from them, and they would be loosed from the demons and the blinded spirits, and their eyes would be opened, Lord, to see Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Father, I speak a blessing on all. May they keep this word and what they've heard, Lord, and go out and tell others. And may this podcast prosper exceedingly abundantly above all that you're able to ask for. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we all said,
amen.
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 Thanks for coming, Reverend Ron. How long has this podcast?
We'll be turning 9 years old this year. And ministry will be 22 years old, June 26th.
Did you get it? Okay. You didn't ever say.
This stuff was gonna be a hug.
Thanks for coming down.
All we know is winning. All we know is winning. All we
I'm posted on the line. Go hard as you can, that's the only thing that's on my mind. Hopeless, ride it like we're playing in the Rose Bowl. Cross the line, through the cut, only thing I see is gold. When I got drafted, I was on a 23-1. Since I switched teams, well, let's say I'm probably 4-1. He took on my sin and divided it like hole in one. Never could repay him, but I'm playing like I own one. You know about the team. 1-1 to the 6. Mix it with that full ride. Boy, we're about to throw a fit. Roll up in your city diesel, about 126. If you know about your boy, you know there's nothing counterfeit. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing but a thing. If I never leave the bench, I still get a ring. Gotta know trade option, and I never lose a game. Cause all we need.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.